Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah!
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah!
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it! It's the best thing going today.
What's up, you guys? It is episode 284 of Top Rope Nation. I'm Ryan Drosty here with Justin Joint. No Kyle Ross this week. He'll be back next week, but he was on our last broadcast. So if you're missing Kyle, make sure you check it out in the archives. Shout out to Liam O'Rourke, good friend of the pod, for joining Kyle last week on the show. But this week, Mr. Joint is just us. We're talking about what I think has been a pretty wild week in the world of pro wrestling. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Gonna pour myself some Casamigos tequila.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening to the Dax Harwood podcast lately, and he starts off a bunch of the shows trying different tequila. Apparently, he's a big tequila guy, and just the way he talks about it, I think I'm going to be on a little bit of a tequila kick for a while, because he sure makes it sound good. So I'm going to pour a little tequila.
Have you picked up any of the Terramana yet?
I have. When it first came out, I got a bottle.
Yeah. So he's got, you know, like three different flavors now. There's one that's aged in whiskey barrels. That one is really good. You would probably like that one just on the rocks.
Mm-hmm. But I think the only one I had was the Blanco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's not bad. But
yeah, I gotta try some of the other ones.
Yeah. So worth checking out. I got the good old fashioned Midwest IPA Two Hearted here from Bell's up in Michigan.
Solid beer.
Could never go wrong with that, guys.
So how excited are you about all the trades that the Bulls made today?
God damn it. Don't even. This freaking big market team. The team, Justin, that Michael Jordan played for.
Heard
they
of
run
them.
It like it is some mid-market, small market team. I mean, they have no interest in winning whatsoever. Jerry Reinsdorf needs to sell the Chicago Bulls.
It seems like they just don't have any direction.
I don't get it. It's so weird. You know, you're a Celtics fan, so I mean, mm-hmm. I'll give you props. But like outside of the Lakers and the Celtics, there's no team in the NBA that, you know, other than the Bulls, there's no team higher that like should be in the conversation all the time. I mean, like the Lakers and Celtics, yes, but then the Bulls should be right there. They should mm-hmm. always be making moves and like in contention. And it's so frustrating. Yes, I know I was spoiled in the 90s, but look, it was a quarter of a century ago now. I'd like to have something to root for. And outside of Derrick Rose, you know, there hasn't been much in the,
For our own personal safety, we should also throw out the Knicks, too, as being a relevant team that should be up there, you know?
You know, yeah, Frank, you know, I'm sure Frank's listening. Big market, so playing Madison Square Garden, sure. Hasn't had a lot of success in a long time. I mean, even my Bears have won a championship closer to now than the Knicks. Sorry, Frank.
Wow.
But I'll give you that. Madison Square Garden, biggest city in the country. They should be in the mix too. But man,
Frank catching some strays this early in the pod. Man.
Even my sorry Chicago Bears have won a championship more recently. Yes. No. But I mean, it's frustrating. I was hoping that they would do a little something to make things interesting. And no moves whatsoever. Just caught in NBA hell. Yep. Unfortunately, but everyone wants to help the Los Angeles Lakers. Apparently,
I was legit pissed off yesterday with just the absolute gift package that the fucking Lakers got from Danny Ainge, who I used this in the text message to you and Kyle as a Vinceism, that he absolutely raped the T-Wolves in that Gobert trade, but then he just gifts, you know, Vanderbilt and Beasley. To the Lakers for one first round pick that is top four protected. And if it lands in the top four, it immediately becomes a second round pick.
Wow.
Yeah. It's fucking bullshit. I hate the Lakers.
I don't get it. I wish the Bulls could be doing this kind of thing all the time. Right? Unfortunately, no, we are a small market team, evidently. Did you ever see that quote from Jerry Reinsdorf? You know, if you're listening, you don't know, he owns the White Sox and the Bulls and has forever. He said to like a young executive one time that the best place to finish is second place. Always finish in second place because you're dangling that carrot there for the fans and they'll keep coming back and buying tickets. This is the kind of owner the Chicago Bulls have. It is a travesty.
That is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah. All he cares about is making money. You know, just make the play, be a play-in team this year, Justin. They'll be happy with that.
Man. Depressing. Welcome everybody to Top Rope Basketball.
let's talk a little pro wrestling here. I did mention that at the top, Kyle and Liam did that show last week. So great discussion on AEW as well as 1998 WCW. They're starting a series on rebooking 1998 WCW. And that was kind of prompted, I think, by the classic show that we did in December, looking at Starrcade 97. So you can check that out in the archives. You can join the Patreon page if you're not already a patron. And Justin, this month, the poll just ended amongst our patrons. We will be doing four classics, Wrestle War 91. Looking forward to it.
Should be sweet.
Yeah. Always like some old WCW. So that is patrons voted in. Second place was No Way Out 2001. Almost won. Almost got us to the 21st century. But yeah, this should be a lot of fun. I think we'll probably be recording that here in a week and a half or so. And that'll be hitting the Patreon feed. So yeah, link in the broadcast description if you want more than 100 bonus podcasts from us. And thank you to everyone tuning in on all the podcast platforms. Please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And we are streaming right now on the SE Scoops YouTube channel. So shout out SEScoops.com for all your pro wrestling news.
And please check out the most recent Top Rope Nation Extra if you're a Patreon. And if you're not a Patreon, become one, because I was the guest on Extra this time. And I think me and Kyle had a really fun conversation.
It was really good. I really enjoyed listening to that. It was, it was interesting because Extra, our other Patreon bonus show, is kind of becoming like the Kyle side project. He'll invite on, you know, different guests. But yeah, it was you and him doing the alternate review of Royal Rumble. It was a good listen, really good listen. A lot of the same criticisms Jesse and I had, but you know, Kyle was pretty fired up. It's a good listen.
Yes, he was. I know that's odd for the listeners to hear that Kyle was fired up about pro wrestling, but he was.
Yeah. So I guess we could just start then talking about WWE. I had this a little further down on the agenda, but let's start off with this since we're talking about the Royal Rumble. You know, coming out of the Rumble, they did announce Sami Zayn, Roman Reigns for the Elimination Chamber up in Montreal. That was kind of what we expected. Talked about that on the post show the next day with Jesse. And I think everyone is expecting this to lead into a tag match for Kevin and Sami at WrestleMania. So we are getting Cody and Roman at WrestleMania. That's, you know, the original plan. They didn't differentiate from their course there. And everybody's talking about this promo that Cody had with Paul Heyman Monday night on Raw. I did not see it live. I saw all of the discussion about it, was busy during the live broadcast. So I went back and I watched it the next morning. And I'm going to throw it to you first, Justin. Do you think the positive praise it was getting was warranted? Did you think it was an all-timer, Justin? I mean, what did you think of Monday Night Raw and Cody and Paul Heyman?
Well, like you, I didn't see it live. And honestly, these days, I do not watch anything on Raw unless there is some buzz about something. Then I will go back and watch it because I DVR every episode. And this one was getting a lot of buzz. You know, on the Twitter feed, people were talking about it. People were talking about it on our Facebook page. And so I went and checked it out. And it was good. I don't know if it lived up to the hype that I had been hearing. I don't know if I don't think it was an all timer. And I don't know if it was as good as people are saying, or if it's just so much better than anything else you see on Raw these days, mm-hmm. which is kind of where I'm leaning. The personal touches were great, you know, about Dusty doing car commercials, not for the money, but just to keep the car. And going into Paul giving Dusty a job in ECW because the roads were basically broke. And more importantly, giving Dusty his confidence back. And, you know, it was, you know, I'm a dad. I can get emotional in it. And so I was touched because it looked like Paul was genuinely moved and emotional about Cody's speech. But then to me, it just looked like Cody became a little bit of the dumb baby face because he took Paul's obvious lie about Dusty's last words to Paul being that he wished Roman Reigns was his son. Mm-hmm. He took that personally, which I thought was, I don't know, a little silly. Like I said, a little bit of dumb baby face, a little overdone. And that could just be because of my own personal feelings about Cody Rhodes right now, where I don't know if I'm as high on him as everybody else. I'm a little over the ultra American stuff right now. And it was even like,
you had a term for that on the extra pod.
Yeah.
Vibes from that.
Yeah. A little January 6th vibes from good old Cody Rhodes. And I don't know if I get a little bit of an entitled vibe from him. I'm a little over with the whole family thing. Dusty coming up all the time. That's all he has to go to. But even like when he started the promo with the, so what do you guys want to talk about?
That was lame.
He needs to stop doing that. That sounds like a shit ass heel move. But what did you think, man?
Well, I agree with you on that criticism of the, what do you want to talk about? It's like, okay, the first promo you did when you came from AEW. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was great.
But like to do that every time. No, that ain't going to work, or do it a lot of the time. No, I didn't like that either.
And it was just more so than anything, it was his delivery of the line, mm-hmm. which was just obnoxious to me.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's like the presentation, it's what the American Nightmare's been since he crafted this gimmick. It is a little over the top patriotism for me, bordering on nationalism. It's just like, I think you mentioned like with his father and bringing up Dusty a lot, if he does win the title at Mania, it's going to be interesting if he can sustain the momentum past then, because it is a good story that he's main eventing WrestleMania when no one in his family has done it. He's trying to win the title. His dad never won. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But once he does that, then what? You know, can he sustain momentum as the champion? Can he be a long-term champion? I'm not quite sold on that. I think the story of getting there is engaging. I'm looking forward to the match. And we'll get into the discussions as we get closer to Mania on if he should win as the build goes on. I think we have been calling for Cody to be the one to beat Roman for like almost a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has been our point of view. As far as building intrigue in the match goes, I did like this promo quite a bit. I didn't think it was like an all-timer or anything like that. I thought some of the praise, we talk about this and like Kyle talks about this on the extra show with the Rumble review. He likes to digest things and look back mm-hmm. on it at least a few days later. I think some of what was being said in the moment was like, because it was fresh. I think when I watched it, I thought it was good, but I was kind of waiting for it to like kick up to that next level from the crazy praise that I saw of like how good it was. But I did like it a lot. I like, you know, drawing in the connection with Dusty and Heyman and the ECW references, and you know, the crowd obviously liked that. But then, I agree, it got to that kind of silly wrestling. Oh, yeah, your dad said that he wished he had Roman Reigns. Like, come on, man.
I mean, I as someone who grew up watching, you know, Dusty and Dustin and Cody, like, I even cringed when Paul delivered the, he told me you were his favorite son line, which I realized that was just to lead into the Roman Reigns line, but I still was like, I don't like that. And I don't like Cody's reaction to it where he's like,
mine
probably was.
Is that what you want to talk about, Paul?
I think it was just exceptional by today's WWE standards.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that you see such bad acting in pro wrestling a lot of the time in promos, that when you see a delivery that is good, like, I mean, both of them were phenomenal in the emotional
confident
part of this.
And confident. Yeah.
You see, like, the tears welling up, because it is a real life story that he did do that for his dad and everything. So when you actually see that come through in pro wrestling, like, you borderline with reality there and it's well executed, that's always going to get people talking. Again, I think we're kind of grading on a curve though, because this is the same show that's broadcasting Bray Wyatt promos, for God's sakes, and the Alexa Bliss nonsense and, you know, everything else, the shush. And I mean, you could go down all the terrible stuff that WWE airs in their promos. So when you do have someone who's confident in their delivery, as you said, it's going to get people talking. It was really good. I don't know that, the next promo they do, if they can build off of this, or they have to just go just a completely different direction. Cause like you said, it's not like they can build this match on, your dad wanted Roman to be his son. Cause that's obviously so ridiculous. So coming out of this, I guess the story is just that I'm mad at Paul Heyman, but we knew that already. So I don't think there was really any material to build the feud off of, but I think isolated, it was well executed. It was good. I enjoyed watching it. Yeah.
And I was a little torn on like the purpose of it too, because I liked that at the very beginning, he said that as of right now, he's going to be facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, but, kind of feeding off the crowd response is like, it could be Sami Zayn. But,
but at the end, then he was saying, I am facing Roman at WrestleMania.
That's what I was going to say. By the end, it basically cemented the fact that it will be Roman versus Cody at WrestleMania, which is what we all expect.
Yeah,
but still, it kind of took away a little bit of the intrigue of could Sammy actually do it at Elimination Chamber, which is a possibility I brought up on the extra with Kyle Ross, fully expecting to be shot down by him, and I would assume you also.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I think that if Roman hadn't held the title this long and they didn't have like the counter all the time on how many days he's had it, and he had only been champion for a couple months, I would very much be on the side of they could do like a shock title change short term kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But because of how they've built up the reign, no pun intended, with him being unbeatable for years now, I just don't see it, because it would take away from Cody being the one to topple him. So
I agree. I was just trying to have my cake and eat it too by getting Sammy his world title reign.
Yeah.
And the big win in front of the home crowd.
Yeah. It's like, it's such a weird thing. Cause like the Sammy thing has never been about him becoming champion.
True.
It's just been about him conquering the bloodline, eventually. He doesn't have to win the title. You would like to see him get like some, I'm sure they'll do this because Roman's heel. He'll get like the visual pinfall, or something like that. But all the comparisons with Sammy and Brian in 2014, I just don't think it's the same, because with Brian, it was always about being the champion, and that's not the same story here. So,
Not only that, but also like looking outside of just the story, our alternative main event at WrestleMania is much better here when we're looking at Reigns and Cody, whereas that we were staring down the barrel of Randy Orton and Batista, a matchup that nobody fucking wanted to see it in that moment or at that time. And I think that's the major difference between what we're, what we have going here with Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I agree. And unique situation for WWE. We've talked about for years and years and years how this promotion has struggled to build baby faces, and all their stars have been heels or tweeners, and they legit have two over baby faces who are almost universally cheered right now. It will be interesting to see if Cody sustains that or the fans turn on him like they did in AEW. We shall see. I have a feeling eventually And I don't think it's going to take a real long time. I think the fans are going to turn. What do you think?
Boy, I'm not sure, man. I guess I hadn't really contemplated that possibility all that much.
I do think it's going to happen. I mean, just, I like Cody Rhodes, don't get me wrong, but something about, I don't know if it's the pro, sometimes he can come across like too polished, not really fake, but sometimes almost like a inauthenticity about him. I don't know. I feel like the fans can feel that, and that's what happened in AEW. And I think with him coming over to WWE, obviously there was that excitement initially, and there's still that excitement. He's kind of still has that initial excitement with him because he was out for so long. You know, he wasn't around. It was around like what, 2 months, got injured. Now he's just come back again. So he really hasn't been around that long. But I think with sustained exposure, for a lot of the reasons that you even brought up early about why you're getting tired of already the shtick.
Yeah.
I think there will be a decent portion of the audience that will kind of turn on him, you know, depending on who he feuds with, because it'll, you know, he wins the title and he's not feuding with Roman. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen depending on who they put him in there with.
He also gives me those always working vibes, but in the bad way, like Hogan gives me the always working vibes.
I saw that with did you watch any of the press scrum that he did after the Rumble? Someone had a tweet where they were like, Cody comes off like so friendly and so polished with these reporters, and you just have that feeling of like he's going to the back and he's making fun of them, but God, you love him in the moment.
Yeah. I have liked him for a long time. I want to like him.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about 15 years from now when he's taken over for Glenn Jacobs as
no,
as mayor with some bad ideologies.
Oh man. Oh God. I hope not. I bought one of his shirts one time, an AEW that he did for like a fundraiser for like one of the floods or hurricanes or something, off of Pro Wrestling Tees. And really all it is like his American Nightmare logo on the front. And when I got it, I was like, you know what? I almost feel like this logo could be misinterpreted for the types of people you mentioned a little bit ago. And I've never worn the shirt for that reason.
Yep.
It's like, I don't want people thinking I'm storming the Capitol. So it's sitting there in my closet. It was like the money was for a good cause, so I bought it. But when I got it, I was like, maybe should I thought a little harder on this one.
Yeah, and just for the record, I know I'm being a little hard on him. I mean, shit, he was the guy that, you know, Amanda Huber called him and Big E to, you know, break the news to Brody's son that, you know, his dad had passed. So there's some good qualities there. I'm sure he's a good person, but
yeah,
I'm just not sure how I feel about his on-screen character right now.
Same. I like the guy personally, and I like the story they're telling, but I can see where those criticisms come in, and I can see why like the AEW audience turned on him. And I could see why it could happen in WWE. And I hope if it happens in WWE, he does go heel, which we didn't see in AEW, you know. So he's good. He has charisma. He has the delivery down. I think he can thrive as a babyface or a heel. So we'll see. Any other thoughts on Raw, or should we flip it over to AEW? I know you watched all 3 hours, including the commercials. No fast forwarding.
Twice.
Analyzing all the advertising and everything.
Watched it twice.
Detailed notes. All right. All right. So let's talk Dynamite, since that is recent history. I mean, Raw was, God, an entire three nights ago, Justin. Last night's Dynamite really had people talking to. A lot of good stuff on the show. Maybe some would argue too much. I mean, I don't know. Stuff gets, you know, sometimes it tends to get lost because there features so much good stuff on the show. That criticism can sound silly at times, but.
Well, I mean, but specifically, I think you're referring to like pretty incredible freaking matches. They're on a roll in that regard. I think a lot of us are still waiting for, you know, the hook as far as not the wrestler, but but like something to really hook us into, as far as story goes, like with Revolution. But man, there were absolutely three matches on last night's show that, you know, dare I say, humped.
I was wondering if that term would be used.
I would give two of them about 4.5 humps.
What does a half hump look like exactly? You might have to like visually do this on the camera sometime. What is a half hump? I could go a lot of different
directions. But it just seems like we're getting all these great matches, and I brought it up in our text thread that like I'm watching the show last night, and I used the wrong terminology in our text thread. I said it's like, boy, am I kind of wishing that there was just like some shittier matches on these shows. And that was the wrong terminology. And what I was really looking for was we need some of this stuff to breathe a little bit.
Yes.
Cause like, it just feels like some of this great stuff is being lost in the shuffle a little bit. I mean, already this year we've had two pretty incredible Mox and Page matches. The Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal match was incredible. Darby and Joe have had two phenomenal matches. And like I said, in last night's show, you know, the trios match was really good. And then I thought, you know, MJF and Takeshita was incredible.
Yeah.
And I want to say a possible match of the year between Danielson and Roosh, but God knows. I mean, that could be lost in the shuffle within a month. Like, I don't know how we're going to feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost wish that they could spread the wealth a little bit and like spread these matches out. Like even feature one on Rampage, get you to tune in. One on the next week's Dynamite, because, or even just like two of them on a edition of Dynamite, because Kyle brought up in our text thread the multiple blade jobs on the show, and I agree with that criticism. I do like blood in wrestling, but not that much on the same show. It loses the power, you know. So that, I think that was a valid criticism, but yeah, I mean, started off with that Takeshita MJF match was phenomenal. Oh. I mean, you barely see MJF in the ring on TV anymore. And dude, I mean, like he was out of this world. I thought he's doing everything he can to get booed when the crowd wants to cheer him.
Yeah.
He's solid in the ring. That like, he took like that clothesline where he landed on his feet.
Yes. Yes,
that was amazing.
Yeah, yes, from the top rope. Yep. With Takeshita. Yeah,
That was awesome. I mean, and that was a hell of a way to open the show. Yeah, the Brian Roosh match was phenomenally, hard hitting.
Yes,
Brian bled all over the place. I mean, if you like chops, this is the match for you. It's a sprint. You know, it's not a 30-minute match. It was like about 15 minutes, maybe a little bit under. You got the trios match, which was very good.
High flying, lots of near pin falls. And that's the thing I love about Dynamite and, AEW is that we had three amazing matches, but they were all kind of very different kinds of matches.
Yes.
And they were all telling different kinds of stories. But even while I say that, I'm already starting to think of nitpicks. Like, what's the Elite doing? Where, what's their direction?
I was going to ask you this. I'm just going to jump into it right there as a segue. Do you think the trios titles are a problem?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the tag team titles, they should have just had a little bit of fun with it and made it where it was something where it could be defended by two or three, depending on what your group is. Mm-hmm. Because frankly, right now, the tag team titles feel lesser, especially with the current frickin' champions.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
They feel less important because the Elite, who started the goddamn company, have the trio titles. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't feel like their matches are important because it's obvious who's going to win those matches.
Right. Yeah, it's... this company's had at different times like so much depth in the tag division, but right now it feels so weak.
Mm-hmm.
You alluded to the new champions, which we'll talk about, but like, yeah, you take the Bucks totally out of the picture. Kenny can't really do anything in the singles area right now. And then it's like whoever they're feuding with in the trios picture is not competing for the tag team titles. So, you don't have like Death Triangle, obviously, or the Lucha Bros. You could put the Lucha Bros back into the tag mm-hmm. team title picture, I suppose, at this point. But, they were tied up for weeks and weeks and weeks. And to me, it's just a detriment because you're taking away from what could be such a solid tag team division, and you're splitting everybody up and putting them with a third person because you got to have feuds for that other title. It's just overkill to me. I know on paper it sounds like a good idea, and they've got it in other companies, but they just do not need that many titles. They don't need to weaken their tag division in a company that essentially has 2 hours of TV a week. I know they have Rampage, but like nobody pays attention to Rampage. So on your prime show, 2 hours a week, it's too much. It's too much. And I hate that the tag division feels so weak right now. And I hate the decision they made too there. More on that in a little bit.
Can I get a little nerdy with you for a second? Since Kyle's not here, because I know he wouldn't give a shit about this. I hate how vanilla and bland the trio's title design is.
Mm.
I mean, it's like I could barely differentiate them from the tag titles. It's just like,
yeah, they do have a similar look, don't they? I gotta look at it up close again.
There's just nothing unique about it.
Yeah, they kind of look like the WCW tag belts a little bit.
Yes.
But yeah,
or the lesser version of the not the sweet WCW TV title with the red
mm-hmm.
highlights on it. The one after that.
Okay.
It looks like the kind of just the generic belt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think just a mild nitpick.
I agree. I think the tag belts are far superior. I think.
Those are fine. Even those, I don't know, that absolutely gorgeous world title behind mm-hmm. your right shoulder there. It's like, how inspired that is mm-hmm. and how uninspired. I mean, almost every other title outside of the TNT and I'd say TBS designs I both like, but other than that, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. And everyone wants to see the Bucks and Kenny in important matches. And it just doesn't, it feels like they can have matches like they had this week with Top Flight and AR Fox, but they don't really mean much. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like they can have a good feud. They could, I guess, if FTR and CM Punk were there.
That'd be nice.
That would be a hell of a feud.
Maybe it'll
happen in the future. Fingers crossed they can work out something. But right now, just does feel like you can have some good matches here and there, but they're kind of just spinning their tires. I don't know. It's to me, it's such a detriment with the tag team division. And, they have the Acclaimed, who are still one of the most over acts in the company. But, has their tag title run been a little lackluster? Yeah, I don't think it's their fault. It's because they've weakened the tag division so much. And let's just go into this. The Gun Club? Tag team champions? I mean, it's fine for a feud. The feud makes sense, obviously, with Billy Gunn. But that doesn't mean these guys should be tag team champions. I saw someone on Twitter had this comment, and I laughed. And I'd give credit if I know who it was. And you could search the words and probably find it. But they were like, the Gun Club feels like they should be the USWA tag team champions, not the WWF tag team champions, right? It's clearly like a tier below that. And they have been so careful with who has held these tag titles for the duration of the company, makes it so shocking that they would move. I don't know what Tony was thinking. A short shock thing and they move it back to Acclaim. Like, why even do that?
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I assume is that they're trying to add a little bit of spice to this feud because they don't have any other challengers lined mm-hmm. up or anything else interesting to do in this tag team division. So they're like, fuck, this is about all we can do right now.
It doesn't make sense though, like on any level, because the Acclaimed, so if you watch that show and you look at the front row, it's Acclaimed shirts everywhere. This team is among the most over acts, singles, trios, tag team in the entire company. They're still getting amazing reactions. They've had the belts now for what, a little over 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Their time hasn't come. You look, you know, the tag history, it's a who's who of some of the best talent in the company. You know, the biggest leap was Keith Lee and Swerve, because you're like, oh, can they be a tag team? But they're two phenomenal workers that have been around a long time, and it worked and it was great. The Gun Club are just, they're thriving off the association with an overact because of their dad's involvement. But like, should you be, and this is kind of, I was talking about this with Cody, and you know, where does Cody go once he beats Roman? Can he carry the momentum? I know for damn sure the Gun Club cannot carry momentum as tag team champions against anybody but the Acclaimed right now.
Yeah.
Like, they could not move on to another team right now and have any credibility. The only reason they're in a featured program is because of their dad and that story. But that's not enough to make them the tag team champions and to join that lineage, who's who of some of the best workers in the company. I mean, they're still fairly green. I think they're good, but not tag team championship worthy right now. I was stunned, Justin. And that title win was like death in that building.
Yeah.
It was not good heat. And, you know, first they booed, and then it was just silence. I mean, absolute silence. They played their theme for a little while, and then they cut the theme off, and it was like nothing. There was like no reaction to it at all until the bullshit chant.
And that's the weird thing is you would think that after the one thing that All Out should have taught you is that the crowd is not ready to see the Acclaimed lose.
No.
At all. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to just keep building them up and up and up and up until the right team comes along to pull the trigger on something like this, which, you know, I don't think I would have minded near as much if this happened like 3 or 4 months from now, after the Acclaimed have really established themselves as, you know, top guys in the tag division. But you know, maybe that's the point, is that Tony's looking at the depth. He's not seen any depth and he needs some. So he's trying to lift up the Gun Club. I think it's premature.
Yeah, I just don't think you do that by just putting a shock title victory on the resume like that. I mean, this feels like something WWE would do to shock their audience out of nowhere, even though it didn't make any sense. And I mean, like, just think about this. Okay, so the Acclaimed, they're so over that anyone they work is going to benefit from them right now. Like, there's going to be fan investment because they care about everything the Acclaimed does. Imagine like a tag title feud right now, just throw out some names, you know, like the Gun Club and, I don't know. Top Flight. Okay. Like great workers, but nobody would give a shit about that as a tag team title feud. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wouldn't have the credibility as a tag team title feud. I like all of those workers, especially Top Flight, but it just like doesn't feel like that can hold a title, you know, a title feud spot on a pay-per-view. Like, who's tuning in for that pay-per-view match? You know, there's not going to be that same kind of investment that you have with the Acclaimed, and that's why they're the champions and why they should be the champions. And I would bet they're going to, I guess they could keep it on the Gun Club to move it back to FDR, but like, they're going to have it for some time to do that.
Yeah.
And that seems like, are they going to really hold the titles to like double or nothing?
Yeah. That'd be like 2 months from now.
I don't see it, but I mean, it just feels like, okay, we'll do a rematch at Revolution and the Acclaimed will win the titles back. I mean, then what's the point? I don't know.
Yeah. Man.
I guess to if you think it's going to draw more interest into the match, you know, whatever, but I was stunned.
You're not getting more pay-per-view buys so that people can see Acclaimed to get that title match or, you know, to get their titles back.
I mean,
you're just hurting their aura.
Yeah. I mean, it was a bullshit heel win, of course. Mm-hmm. Like, in the fans' minds, the Acclaimed still the champions. You know, they didn't lose clean, but nah, I didn't like it. I thought for such a good edition of Dynamite. It was a bad way to end. It was just like the wrong kind of heat. Crowd stunned, crowd angry, and like that's how they went off the air.
I will say the one silver lining is I was relieved that they didn't once again do a swerve with Billy Gunn helping his sons win the championships. When he came out, I was like, oh God, no, please. So that was at least a relief.
Yeah. Yeah. That seemed like the obvious thing that they would be doing, but no. So it was a disappointing finish. So we talked about the trios titles. Yeah, definitely. We're both in lockstep there. Bad for the company because of their lack of tag depth. Yeah. This Revolution card, man. I mean, it seems like every time we're getting close to an AEW pay-per-view, we're like, what are the matches going to be? What are the matches going to be? And then like at the last minute, it all comes together. But yeah, I mean, we're what? Just under a month away, and we three and a half weeks away, yep. And we have one match.
It's not ideal.
What did you think of MJF's promo backstage?
I thought it was freaking amazing. I absolutely loved it.
I loved like the change of setting. Mm-hmm. You know, him in the back.
Yeah.
Just drenched in sweat. You had to like that.
Oh, come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
He invites the announcer, Lexi, right, over to sit by him and come here, sweetheart. And then he tells this story about driving this girl around in his car and things are happening in the car. He goes in and he's getting oral sex from this girl in the car. He means to hit the brake and he hits the gas and he hits a telephone pole.
Yes.
And then he had to make that decision of, what kind of man am I going to be? And he realized when he saw the cop car lights, he put her in the driver's seat and switched positions with her. Like this dastardly bastard here.
He is damn good at playing his role. I'll give him that.
What was that line he had? I should have wrote it down. It was so good about something along the lines of, am I bad because the people hate me or do the people hate me because I'm bad or something like that? That was a great line.
Yeah.
That was such a good line. But yeah, I mean, he's so intense and it just comes through on the TV screen so well that like the minute everyone wants to cheer him, he gives a promo like this and you're like, this fucking guy, man. Gotta boo him. He is so good. I mean, just must see television right now. I loved it too. It definitely pushed the envelope. I mean, this is why with my little kids, I'll let them watch WWE, but AEW, I have to kind of vet that ahead of time. Daddy, what does he mean when he's putting his tongue in his cheek like that? What is that? What's going on in the car? What's happening here?
That was not subtle at all.
No,
I was even kind of shocked to see that on AEW.
Yeah, man, I really wish I would have written that quote down because it was so good. I'm trying to see if I can find it. If you're in the chat, let us, if you know it word for word, but I thought that was phenomenal. It's not in this review here. They didn't quote it either, but go back and watch it. Great line. Something along the lines of, am I evil or am I bad because the people hate me or do the people hate me because I'm bad or something like that. It was good stuff. Okay. So what else do we want to cover? I think that's pretty much what I wanted to hit from Dynamite. I mean, we talked a little bit about the Brian and Roosh match. So physical, the chops. Brian getting that victory. Did you like the whole deal they did with Brian being locked and then breaking through the door to get out there before the 10 count, or was that too hokey for you?
The execution was a little hokey, but I'm also okay with it. That probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm glad they're kind of adding some details to this rivalry. The only thing I had a problem with was that, like, so that happened and you hear Roosh's music playing and MJF goes out there to try and get Aubrey to make the count, and all I want is like in my kayfabe brain is like, well, they should start Brian's music and then when he doesn't come out, that's when you start counting. So that was my only tiny criticism.
Yeah. Does it bother you? I mean, Brian is just, I mean, he's always phenomenal. He really feels like he is just knocking it out of the park every single week. Are you bothered by the fact that it seems there's no chance he'll be world champion? despite having a great match with MJF here?
No, it doesn't bother me because I am pretty convinced it doesn't bother him at all. That I don't think he probably has all that much interest in being champion at this point. Mm-hmm. He just wants to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with him just having great matches and kind of building that upper mid card for the roster.
Yeah. I found that quote from the promo here. He said, "Bryan Danielson, you treat me like I'm some sort of scumbag. These fans treat me like I'm a scumbag. You know, I don't know if you people hate me because I'm twisted or if I'm twisted because you hate me." That is such a great line. And he says, "But here's what I do know. I know that a man does not know what he is truly made of until he is met with adversity." And then he went through that story about the girl and the blue Camaro and what was going on with the telephone pole and all that. Yeah, it was great, great stuff. Check out that promo if you missed it. But yeah, hell of a Dynamite with a questionable closing winner, especially in the main event slot there for the tag team titles, I thought. So, all right, Justin, before we go, should we hit this mailbag?
Let's do it.
All right, we haven't done this in quite a long time. We used to do it on the show like once a month or so. But we're getting back into the Top Rope Nation mailbag. We got these questions here from our Facebook group today. So if you're not in the Facebook group, there's a link in the broadcast description, or you can search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion over on Facebook.com. Great group of people there talking wrestling every single day. So I put up the post earlier today that Justin and I were going to do a mailbag, and we had a lot of people come through in the comments with possible questions. And we're going to pick a few of them, see how many we can get to tonight. And the ones that we don't get to, maybe we will get to in the near future. You ready, Justin? I'm going to ask you the question first.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. So this comes from our guy, Niall Clark, who just had a phenomenal series. He just wrote all on his own in the Facebook group on the history of the Royal Rumble. Shout out on that again. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah. He said, hold on. I'm going to say it right here. If you're not part of our Facebook group, you're an idiot.
Like, seriously,
this is the kind of stuff you're missing out on is Niall's write up of every single freaking Royal Rumble. It was incredible.
I made the comment on there one day. I was like, between what Niall does there, you know, Kyle often will write like long form form things in there. Sometimes people chime in. Michael Jenkinson's another one. It's like, I feel like there's better feature writing going on sometimes in our pro wrestling discussion group on Facebook than a lot of wrestling websites, to be honest with you. You guys got to get in there.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's what Niall wrote. He said, "One thing I miss in modern wrestling is the sets. They made every pay-per-view feel unique and added to the spectacle of the show, in my opinion. I hate the screen setup they have now. So my question is, what are your favorite sets or stage designs in pro wrestling history? And if you could bring back one thing from the past into modern wrestling, what would it be and why?" Niall Clark. Justin, hit me with your favorite sets.
Ooh, boy. I mean, I'm not sure how to approach it. Are we just thinking like pay-per-views or like the old Raw or SmackDown sets? Like, I know people have nostalgia for it, but I was never a fan of the SmackDown giant fist. I thought that was
that's on my list.
Sorry.
I'm not going to lie. I liked it. Well, one of the things I liked about it was it felt so much different than Raw. Like it really felt like a whole different show. Yeah.
Absolutely. Boy, I don't see. I kind of like the current giant just screens and video displays that they have. I don't know if I like the current new Dynamite set compared to the old one with the tunnels. WWE has been pretty generic with it. They've all kind of looked the same for the most part. Boy, I don't know. I wish WWE would have like a throwback night, but it'd be like a Nitro and they'd have the Nitro set. I think that would be pretty cool. I think that Nitro set, I mean, we have any wrestling fan who lived through that has a lot of great memories.
Yeah.
Man, I don't have a great answer for this one. How about you?
So the SmackDown fifth set was on my list. The original Nitro set, not that Star Trek looking bullshit they had at the end, but the original one with like the steel and the WCW silver on the sides. That set was very cool. You know, it's ironic because I remember when the Raw's War started and they put the big screen up for the first time. And I thought, oh, my God, I've never seen a screen that big at a wrestling show.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who knew that, like, that was the forerunner to every single wrestling stage for the next 25 years? I did like it at the time, though.
I like the multicolored. I mean, it was small, but the multicolored entrance, like during the new generation, you know, beginning with when Raw first started, I thought that was always pretty great.
With the WWF neon with the lights. So I'd say the SmackDown fist for sure. I'd say the original Nitro set, like the Halloween Havoc sets were usually pretty cool. Probably some of those. Bash at the Beach once in a while was cool. I always liked how it wasn't really a cool set, but like even those little plain ones they had where it was almost like the box they came out of with like the lights that flash, but it was like so much different than Rollins. Mm-hmm. It was like a totally different feel. I agree with Niall that now everything feels the same because all they do is just change the logo on the screens. I agree. I think I like the old Dynamite set better than the one they're using now. It just felt more unique. It almost feels like it's just trying to be WWE now.
Yeah. But that could be the whole aesthetic of the new Dynamite, where it's just basically like red, white, and blue compared to like the multicolored of the previous one. And it did have a uniqueness that this current one is lacking a little bit.
You know which one I really liked? I liked, again, it's simple, but I liked at WrestleMania 10, the X and how it like opened up and it was right in front of the hard cam.
Yeah.
They used a similar design, you know, where they would have like the old King of the Rings and they'd have the guy standing there who would open the doors. That always looked kind of cool. Or what about like the Backlash sets where it was like the swinging hook? That was cool.
Yeah.
Looking.
Yeah. I like those. I'm always going to be partial to WrestleMania 34. I thought that was an all time set design.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were there right by it. I think the Raw's War set, I guess it would have been probably like 99, 2000, where they had the WWF logo in the middle with like the lights behind it and like all the steel around it there, like still the same big video screen right above, but like the entranceway looked a little bit different. I like that one quite a bit too. But that's what comes to my mind right away, at least. I wish they would go back to unique pay-per-view sets. I don't think it's going to happen just because they just feel like they can just throw up a screen and do it all digitally, but it does make everything feel very similar almost all the time. At least for WrestleMania, they change it still and do something totally unique. And I guess even like the Rumble, they had a different set. So that's,
You would think with AEW basically just having four pay-per-views a year, five if you count Forbidden Door, that I do wish they would at least mix it up for those.
It tried like a little bit with Double or Nothing. Remember, like they had the poker chips and stuff, but it's still like the same general setup. I mean, they could change it up a little bit more.
I think
a really good question.
The first time that AEW felt fresh when it came to their, or it felt special with their setup was the first Grand Slam where, you know, they had the ramp with, you know, it was like the video, whatever, like WWE does all the time with their WrestleMania entrance ramps. But
yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah. I always kind of liked the In Your House set too. Not going to lie. I always thought it was kind of cool looking with the house up there coming out of the garage. it's very simple, but it was such a different look again from, you know, TV. I liked it a lot. So you don't really have that same flavor where every month you're with the pay-per-views, you're wondering, oh, what's going to look like now? You know, it's a lot different today. So great question. Is there anything you would bring back? That was the second part of his question. If you could bring back one thing from the past and a modern wrestling.
Ah, shit. I can't remember. I should look it up, but my phone is across the room now. I was just going to steal somebody else's from the Facebook chat, that the vignettes for people about to debut is easily my number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. You know, one thing that it's not really old school, but it's something that New Japan had done traditionally was, you know, they would do the lineage of the IWGP champions before a championship match. They would show like pictures of them all. I think that's really cool. You see that in boxing sometimes too. I think that that's something that
I like that. Yeah, that's really nice. Could do.
Just a real quick run through where it's just like, you like flashes all the people that have held the title. WWE would take a while at this point. AEW could certainly do it. But I like that. I always like the nods to history. Yeah. I like the promo, the backstage promos right before a match that was mentioned in the group. Yeah. I like that as well. So yeah. Great question there, Niall. I got one from Curtis here. I know Curtis was watching live. If he's still here, Curtis Brooks, our guy up in Canada, he said, are AEW house shows a draw for you personally? And what's the furthest you would travel to see an AEW house show? So if you weren't aware, AEW is now going to start doing house shows. Justin, is that a draw for you? And how far would you travel?
The draw for me would be to take my kid to it. That'd basically be it. I can't imagine them coming to anywhere within an hour of us, but I would be willing to go to Des Moines, which is about 2 hours away, to take my kid to an AEW house show.
When I saw this, I liked it because I thought, oh, they might actually do a show in Iowa. You know, like WWE, WWE comes here a couple of times a year. WCW always did. But with AEW's limited schedule, I've just not seen it as a possibility. So we've traveled all over to go to AEW show, Chicago, you know, up to the Twin Cities, of course, out to Vegas. So I would say 2 hours for me, I'd go for a house show. I'd definitely go to Des Moines to go to one. It is a draw for me. I actually really, really like going to house shows. WWE, when they come around, I don't really even consider going to the TV, but if it's a house show, I'll consider going. They're a lot more fun. It's a more loose environment. You feel closer to the performers. It seems like the performers are having more fun because it's, I know this sounds weird for pro wrestling, but it feels less staged than the TV where they're just, you know, where they're just playing to the camera all the time. They're actually a lot more engaged with the fans. And I took my daughter to her first show last May, WWE house show, and it was a blast. So I think, yeah, I'd go 2 hours, no more than 2 hours, but it would probably be Des Moines. You're right. I doubt they'd run Cedar Rapids.
Roman Reigns' last house show, right?
It was the last house show match Roman worked. I was at with my daughter. She likes to brag. She saw Roman in person. So yeah, good question there. Oh man. Our guy Rick had a lot of good questions here in the group. Should I pick out one of these? Let's see. Okay. He said he loves good comedy in wrestling. He said he watched the promo. This is Rick Skelton. Watched the promo when Sammy corpsed everyone with Jay's not feeling Usy again. Hilarious stuff. Do we have any favorite comedy moments, Justin, from the history of pro wrestling? Don't say the Mr. McMahon kiss my ass club.
Yeah, no. You know, nothing specific really jumps out. It's more of like anything with Austin and Angle during that brief time when Austin couldn't wrestle, so he just did comedy. I loved all of that. I actually really enjoy the corniness of the Jericho Appreciation Society, of their twirls and pants ripping and stuff. I mean, it's so bad. It's kind of great.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jericho's been pretty consistently very entertaining as far as comedy goes in professional wrestling. I remember the peeing in William Regal's tea. What about you?
A lot of my favorite ones were like unintentionally funny, like not meant to be funny. I think the ones that come to mind that were supposed to be funny are like that 2003 version of The Rock when he would come back and he'd do the concerts and he'd bash the cities, like the song he did in Sacramento that everyone remembers where he bashed the Kings. That was pretty funny stuff. I like the Rock concerts they did in 03. I love the Sid Justice interview at WrestleMania 8 where he's screaming at Gene Okerlund about, no, shut up, you short, fat little oaf. Me and my friends watched that so many times. I don't know if my friend Mike is listening right now or not, but me and my friend Mike, all the time in high school, I would pull out that tape. Yes, a VHS tape of WrestleMania 8. And we would watch that and just die laughing. And it's like, he was just trying to be intense, you know, but it was hilarious the way he would scream at him. Or like, you know, like Gene, the famous blooper with Gene where the SummerSlam logo falls behind him and Rick Rude. That's pretty funny stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's usually like unintentionally funny stuff.
Mick Foley was always pretty entertaining as far as, you know, the comedic sense goes. I even enjoyed, like, it's, you know, where they're at in the card plays a big part of it. But like, I was always entertained by Santino. I enjoyed his shtick.
Mm-hmm. Edge and Christian, you know, early in their run were always pretty funny. You mentioned Angle. Angle was pretty funny all the time. Like the milk truck thing. I mean, that's classic. Yeah. That was hilarious. Yeah. So I would love to hear other people's thoughts on this. You guys can hit us up in the Facebook group. You just link to them on YouTube. That would be a great thread. Funniest stuff from wrestling history that you laughed at so much. You want to do any more? Should I pick one more?
Let's do one more.
All right. Let's see. God, there's good stuff here.
Can I?
Some of these I would have to like research. I feel like I don't know if I could do them on the spot. Yeah. Go ahead, Justin.
I remember one that I saw. I can't remember specifically what the question was, but it was, I think it was about guilty pleasure.
Yep. That was Stuart.
All right.
Stuart Siviter had that. Yeah.
Let's do that one.
Okay. He said, Stuart wrote, your first guilty pleasure in wrestling as a kid. Who did you like when as a kid you look back and wonder why? He said, apart from Nails, obviously, who he loved. Because Stuart is like the biggest Nails fan you will ever meet. It's amazing. It's an amazing bit he's got going. It's not even a bit. He likes Nails. Yeah, you know, it's good stuff.
It's and incredible.
He also loved Ludwig Borga.
Now that I don't get. I'm a little concerned for you, Stuart.
So someone you liked as a kid and you wonder why you liked them. Wow. I feel like I should look in this cabinet behind me and look at the Hasbro figures. Like there's got to be someone from that kind of cartoon era where now I wonder why I liked them.
I saw this question this morning and I've been thinking about it all day and I know there's got to be somebody that I just don't remember. And like some of the names I'm thinking of, I don't think do this question justice, but like, I was oddly, you know, a pretty big Tom Zenk fan, the Z-Man in WCW. Mm-hmm. I was such a sucker as a kid for anything, oddly enough, talking about, you know, Cody earlier, anything super over the top patriotic. Like I love the Patriot or anything kind of like not too over the top, strange, but like kind of gothic or like I was into Papa Shango as a kid.
Yeah.
And then like, I think, honestly, I think my answer as a kid, like if you'd asked me like, you know, what's your guilty pleasure as a wrestling fan as a kid, I would have said something like Bobby Eaton, you know, I was like, cause he doesn't look like your typical, you know, wrestler that you'd be a big fan of, but Bobby Eaton was somebody I always fucking loved as a kid. And I would never be able to explain it, but now obviously everybody knows he was just like one of the all time greats in the ring. For newer stuff, I hate to admit it. I was always a big fan of the Vaudevillains.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. You really liked it. Did you have one of their t-shirts?
No, never got a t-shirt.
Thought about it?
Yeah. I definitely considered it, but obviously, you know, I was always a bit of a nerd for the Finn Demon stuff. I know I'm forgetting something out there that I'm going to remember like a week from now. I'll be kicking myself that I couldn't throw it out there on the pod, but you know what? Once I got past the Hogan is the greatest stage and I realized, you know, the other part of wrestling, the in-ring art, with like Bret Hart, I could never really go back from that. And so a lot of people that I could have guilty pleasures for, just I never really consider, especially if the company quit on them immediately.
Yeah. Man, I can't think of anything where, like, looking back now, I'd be like, why did I like? Because it was usually people that have aged pretty well, or like they weren't great workers necessarily, but they were big personalities and like they're still stars today. You know, like obviously as a kid, I liked Warrior a lot. I mean, that's
not a guilty pleasure.
Pleasure though.
But even like I was thinking that along that same lines, I was trying to think of those mid-card baby faces that you'd assume I'd be big fans of, and I never really was, like, you know, Big Boss Man, Hacksaw, Bushwhackers. You know, it's like they're fine, they serve their purpose, but I can't say they were ever a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
I remember there was like 2 or 3 weeks where I thought Lash LaRue would be something. And then the bottom fell out of that.
Oh man. I remember some kids I was like junior high or high school at the time that were actually really into Lash LaRue. That's funny you mentioned that now.
I thought he was going to be the next Jericho.
Yeah. I can still see this guy in my mind in my high school who loved Lash LaRue. I think he even might have like grown out his sideburns to look like his, if I remember right. Oh man. Yeah, there was like for a little bit there, he had like a good fan base for sure. The Headbangers. Yeah, you know what? Like
that's a good one.
Mentioned them. I guess I kind of liked them. You know, it was, we talked about them a little bit. Well, we've talked about them on multiple shows, I guess, because we've done a lot of 97 classics, but I feel like it came up maybe during the one we did on Shotgun Saturday Night, but like they fit that moment of the 90s so well. Mm-hmm. You know, just the overall feeling of like that grunge headbanger-ish kind of period based on like the clothes they wore, but like then also the music, and they're just like so you know, perfect image of that period. Yeah. In American culture that like it's hard to explain to someone now if they would watch an old show, like why did anyone cheer these? Because they were definitely over. They were absolutely over. And if you watch it now, like isolated and you didn't live through 1997, you might be like, why would anyone like these geeks? But at the time they totally were pop culture 100%. And so I guess that would for sure qualify. In fact, I have some Headbangers Jax figures in the room across from me that my daughters play with right now. I made a point to pick those up at Toys R Us sometime in 97, I remember. So that definitely qualifies. That's a good nod.
I wouldn't even say there was a time, because I'm probably still this way, of being a fan of babyface tag teams that kind of dress the same and have kind of, I wouldn't say outlandish, but yeah, nope. I'm going to say it, outlandish gimmicks. Like like when I was starting to get back into wrestling, around 2010, 2011, boy, hopefully my time isn't off here, but I remember like being kind of intrigued by the Highlanders. It's like, who are these guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I like the callback to the vaudevillains, because I liked them too. I liked the whole black and white theater feel during their entrance. I thought that was pretty creative. That would be a guilty pleasure for sure. But no, this is good. I love doing the mailbag. We need to do this more often. It gets us on a lot of different topics. yeah, there's some other ones that I want to get to, but I feel like I need to research this a little better and in hopes of not having dead air as I try to think about it. But like Huffman had one on the WWE Hall of Fame, and I have to think about that a little bit. Justin doesn't want to talk WWE Hall of Fame. I mean, who at this point with the Hall of Fame, it's just like, does it even shit? Like they put almost everybody in.
I couldn't even tell you who was in and who wasn't. Like, I don't know. Even know who's out there. I mean, like Lanny, I guess.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is like, I feel like I would say someone who's already in. Like I have to double check because they put so many people in who aren't really Hall of Famers. It's like they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I mean, there's a few people out there they haven't done yet that are big stars that can headline. But like when we went to Mania the last time in 18, we didn't even consider going to the Hall of Fame show, like at all. It was never even talked about. Nobody wanted to go. I went in 06 to see Brett, and that was super cool. But like these days, if I was going to Mania weekend, I would not go to the Hall of Fame.
I would buy a ticket if they put Vince in and have his accusers induct him.
It's like a congressional hearing. They just give free rein to ask him questions while he's up there. Oh my God. I mean, the other thing too, when I went 06, it was so cool was that it still felt like a real event where you had to dress mm-hmm. up, and it was at a theater and it was a small venue. Like now you're just doing it in these arenas and everyone's just dressed normal in like jeans and t-shirts. It doesn't have the same feel that it became
something where like you kind of wanted just to hear what the wrestler had to say. Yeah. And I mean, frankly, after Undertaker's rambling mess, like I'm over it. I'm good.
Oh,
man.
God.
I like it. Yeah. Frankly, nothing will ever top Razor Ramon. So just as well fucking end it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I'd have to think about it, but I just, yeah, it just doesn't really feel like it means anything anymore. So like, and then it's unfortunate that they did some of them, you know, like after the people passed away, like Savage was always the one that was out there. Why haven't they done Savage yet? And people said that for years while he was still alive. And then of course they put him in after he dies and you're Vader. Deprived of seeing the moment, you know? So
yeah, Vader was Vader. Another one.
Yep. And there's people that were no brainers that they just didn't do. So that's unfortunate, but you know,
is Big Boss Man in the Hall of Fame?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you would assume so. I don't have any recollection of him going in or who would have inducted him or. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like Pillman, someone they could put in.
Oh, okay.
You know, obviously people talk about Owen, but his wife's never going to go for that, and understandably so. We've mentioned, I think, when we talked about the best tag teams, that Demolition's a no-brainer, but because of the lawsuit, they're not going to put them in. Dynamite Kid, I don't think, is in. I mean, obviously, they're going to do The Rock at some point. Yeah, I don't know.
Just as well do The Rock now. That fucker ain't ever wrestling again.
Imagine if they did that. Or like they wanted him so bad for Mania this year, and he doesn't do the match. But like, all right, I'll do the Hall of Fame. So he comes for that. What a downer. I can give you a couple hours on that night. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, I've got one more quick mailbag question for you from Justin J in the Cedar Valley Midwest. What do you think FTR are going to do?
Ooh.
Do you think they're going to go grab the money with WWE? Because if you listen to the podcast with Dax, his legacy for their tag team is really important to him.
Mm-hmm.
Providing for his family is really important for him. And I don't think you can accomplish both things by going with just one company. I think our answer personally for both of us, I would assume, would be please, please, for the love of God, resign with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, does them going to WWE have any interest to you?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
That's where I'm at.
I mean, been there, done that, held titles there. You know, if they hadn't held titles there, I could see the draw. Yeah, Cody hasn't been world champion there. I mean, the money thing. If they offer money to them that is astronomically more that AEW can pay, added in with, you know, the other side hustles they can do, like pro wrestling tees, I won't blame them for going back at all. In the end, it's about providing for your family. But if it's comparable, I don't think they'll go back. I think they like having the freedom to work all over the place, you know, to do AEW, to do Japan, to go wherever they want. I feel like, now I haven't been listening to the podcast yet, but you've told me it's really good. And I got to start listening to it.
Yeah, really good. I've been listening to the creation of the revival episode, mm-hmm. and he takes a big old nice long dump on Road Dog Jesse James. Road Dog. And also Bill DeMott seems like a real fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's the word. That is definitely the word. I've heard that from a number of people. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's just going to come down to the money, honestly. Because, I mean, if it's comparable, I don't think they'll go back at all. I can't imagine why they would. Like, creatively, they, you know, they, as you mentioned, they care about their legacy. They care about the match quality that they leave behind. They mm-hmm. The footage they leave behind for young aspiring wrestlers to watch. And I feel like they want to have free reign over that kind of thing, and they won't at WWE. So I think right now I'm going to say they don't go back. I'll lean that direction, but I also feel like WWE is going to offer them a lot of money. So it's tough to say, but you know, like the whole sale could factor into this too, depending on who it's sold to. You know, and what comes down to the budget, you know, and do they want to offer a big contract right at that, you know, that period of time? And you know, who knows? So, but right now I'm going to lean towards they don't go back. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for legacy and how much they would get to determine their schedule, I would hope they come back to AEW / Ring of Honor / they get to do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Cool, man. Well, this has been a Curtis,
leave the chat.
Now he's just audibly, or
God damn it.
He's just giving his,
we were having pleasure. A nice time, Curtis. And then you come in with that bullshit.
FTR versus Maximum Male Models. Let's go. He's the one guy. No, Curtis, it's funny.
I thought I was the one getting drunk on tequila. Apparently Curtis is hammered.
Hey man, it's even colder up there than it is here probably. So gotta do something. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Very loose show. We thought it would be, you know, we went into today thinking, all right, what are we going to talk about? Let's do a mailbag, cover a little AEW. Little Raw. This was a lot of fun. Always enjoy talking to my buddy Justin Joint. Really gonna enjoy this weekend when the fams get together. Gonna be seeing Justin in person this weekend. So a lot of fun. Hope you all have a great weekend too. Justin, any closing words?
I think Mike Muscala was a good addition for the Celtics. That's all I got.
Well, I wish my team would add somebody. Actually, I wish they would subtract some people, because they might as well just start over at this point, because Lonzo Ball's apparently never going to play
that
again.
That is so weird. That situation is so weird. I feel so bad for him.
Well, I'm pretty optimistic, actually, about the Bears next year, and the Cubs look like they could be pretty decent this year. So I got some other things going for me, but the Bulls have been a massive disappointment. So, oh, yeah. Sell the team, Jerry Reinsdorf. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging with us. Appreciate your support. Patreon.com/Top Rope Nation. Get in that Facebook group, Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Droste, DROSTE. Find the show at Top Rope Nation. We're also on Instagram. We're on TikTok, Facebook, of course, too. Pretty much every social media platform. Give us a holler. Appreciate your support. And we'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.